Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to 0 Degrees, the podcast with no qualifications, where we try and solve your complications. I'm Rams, and I'm joined by Lydia. Hello, Lydia.
Oh, it's me, and it's only me. It's just a little me.
Barry has a sore tummy.
He's poorly. Send him a smooch. Mm-hmm. Smooch into the air and blow it in the general directional vicinity of Harold McBarrel.
My brain was like, I bet he's like all cozy on the couch with Pepper right now. But cute. Then also my brain was like, bet he's shitting his guts out.
when someone says my tummy is fucked up, they shitting their guts out. That's usually the polite way of saying it. Yeah. Like, there's no nice way to say it. That is the nice way of saying it, but you still can't help but think, oh, they're shitting their guts out.
I just like to tell people, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just straight up gushing out my ass.
Straight up shitting. I'm straight up shitting. I can't do this. Yeah. Well, you're not feeling so good yourself either, are you, Refs?
Well, I'm not feeling too good, no. There was a pub quiz last night and I went to it and I'm feeling very tender because I forgot to eat dinner like a fucking idiot. I usually try and eat before I go out now, but I forgot it and now my head hurt. And my tummy hurt.
No.
I'm a little hungover.
A little hungover. We haven't done a hangover check in a long time. So, yeah.
I've been good lately, honestly.
But you usually go out on a Tuesday, don't you? And we record on a Wednesday.
I go out on a Tuesday, but I'm not often that hungover anymore. Like, I kind of don't drink as much and, like, kind of just... I have some water when I get home and stuff.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Health influencer.
I know.
Eating dinner makes such a difference as well.
Such a game changer.
Yeah. I remember like when you're younger and eating is cheating. And I remember I would like eat enough so that I wouldn't black out drunk, but I would have like a ham sandwich or whatever at like 5 p.m. So I wouldn't black out, but I would still get drunk really quick. Like the idea of doing that now is horrible. It's like, oh my God, why did I want to get so incredibly fucked up that I wouldn't eat enough? Like young people are crazy.
This hangover is serving as a reminder to fucking always eat before drinking because I feel like ass and I've not felt like this in like months.
Yeah. This is a public service announcement. Mm-hmm. Remember to eat before you drink.
Yeah. And I was going to fucking skip therapy today. I was like, I'm so hungover. I don't even want to go.
I don't blame you. The idea of therapy hungover, like it's already like emotionally like devastating. I couldn't imagine doing it whilst I'm like, I feel like I also physically want to die.
Yeah, that's kind of, I went in and I was like late and I could tell she was kind of a little bit pissed off I was late, but like in a nice, like, can't judge you therapy type of way. I mean, either way, she's getting the bag, so she probably doesn't care that much. But like, I was just like, she was like, oh, you're a little bit late and you were late to the one the other week. So that's something there, isn't it? Like, should we talk about that? And I was like,
it's nothing.
I can tell you're pissed off.
Yeah, you should do the therapist one. I'm feeling some anger from your voice right now. What are you feeling right now? Mm-hmm. I think it is like, obviously it depends on the therapist, but sometimes it is funny how like they kind of can make anything into something and it's like, it's nothing. I'm just hungover. Like there's not like some deep emotional thing going down.
Oh my God. I literally talked about Mario Kart in therapy.
Wait, let me guess. one of my besties is so much better than me. And every day it breaks my heart because she kicks my ass nonstop. And my self-confidence is hitting rock bottom. Please help me. Is that it?
No, that wasn't it. No? How dare you? I mean, it's not wrong, but it was just like, I just didn't want to do that Saturday stream that just right. went past the tournament one. I wasn't like feeling it. And I just brought it up. I was like, I've like agreed to do this despite the fact I don't want to do this. And I don't know. It was interesting talking about Mario Kart
she's
therapy.
Thinking, like,
that's the funny part. Yeah,
probably the first time she's spoken about a Mario Kart tournament in therapy. So it's an interesting day for her, at least. Like
fucking Mario Kart and therapy, you know?
Just such a funny fucking combo. I can't wait for the tournament. I'm gonna kick your ass. I was sad it got postponed.
Well, it got postponed, and like I don't know. I feel like it's too soon.
It's too soon.
Thought.
You're not ready. You haven't moved
I'm
on
too
yet.
Too soon. You know, my ass is still raw from the 48 fucking DLC runs.
Oh my god! Yeah, you know? It is going to be a long one. It is going to be a long one.
I feel like, you know, I'm like George Bush's dad. I'm getting like wheeled out for a public
oh
event. You know what I mean? I'm like an old president who has to make a public appearance.
All right.
That's my relationship with Mario Kart right now.
Oh, wow, wow. Poor Raps.
The thing is, if I really wanted to, I could get sweaty and sit and practice it. But man, I was so miserable.
Yeah. I think if you do something enough, you do start to hate it a bit.
Like we were kind of hating it when we were doing the original runs, right? Like we were like fucking, I remember I was talking about like pissed off that we were our runs and stuff and we were making like no improvements.
I loved it and I hated it. Like I loved it. I loved like being really obsessed with it and making improvements and streaming it and the whole like excitement that came with it. But on the days where like I could not improve my score and I do like a fucking 8-hour stream and it would just be like, okay, I can't do this. I'd just be so frustrated and so angry. Like it was true highs and lows.
Yeah. Oh, it was great highs and lows. I missed the buzz.
Yeah, it was a great buzz. I feel like I'm going to be like in the nursing home being like, I remember my glory days where the Mario Kart speed runs, you know.
Someone passed me the Switch 2. It's been 84 years.
Yeah, it's just got released last year.
Yeah. Who are we kidding? The Yogs will still have us doing tournaments in retirement homes.
They'll be weeding us out. We'll be streaming live from the old homies. Can't wait. Yeah. Can't fucking wait.
Dude, honestly, retirement streamer house would go crazy.
Oh my god. I mean, that will probably be a thing, you know, people that, you know, are getting older. Well, obviously it's going to take a while, but you know, there are people in their 40s and 50s who stream, you know, give them, well, I mean, it's probably every single age streams, but you know what I mean? Like the people, there's like a lot of 20-year-olds say who stream at the moment. So give them 50 years, bam, retirement home.
Retirement home, streamer house. Yeah, I think the concept of a streamer house is just like it awful to me.
No, I wouldn't. I'd
hate it. I would hate it so much.
I mean, you have to be a very certain age and person. I think you have to be young and carefree and full of joy. I don't think I could do it.
I don't have any of those.
I'm none of those things. I like would hate living with a bunch of other like content creators and we're all just making content together. I feel like you could never switch off. You'd never have like time where it's like you're not thinking about content and everything. And someone's always filming a vlog and you're in the background looking like shit or whatever. Like you'd never have any time to yourself.
Yeah. Oh God, that'd be fucking awful. And like, I don't know. Have you seen, I'm not shit talking. Okay. You know who Asmongold is?
Yes, I do know
Have you ever seen Asmongold's streamer setup? It's fucking disgusting. It's fucking vile.
I have read some things about him in terms of like, is it like cockroaches and...
Yeah, cockroach like full on him when he was streaming. I think I read something about like a rat. Like
no.
rat scurried along the back or something, or like,
it's because he leaves like his food out and everything.
He found like a rotting possum in his house and shit. Just like guy's a millionaire.
Oh my god!
Imagine having to be like in a streamer house with people that are like that. It's like a fucking nightmare to me.
It's like being back at uni, like sharing a house with absolute scoundrels who just do not clean up after themselves and everything's a tip and it's just horrible. Like the kitchen in a shared uni house is usually a fucking nightmare because no one wants to clean up after another person, but no one cleans up after themselves. So it just becomes a fucking tip.
Like, I've got a fucking pile of clothes, you know. I'm a little messy myself, but like, I'm not like there's bottles and cups and takeaway
mold
containers
growing every like in, yeah. in like cereal bowls and that kind of grip. Yeah, nasty.
I hate it.
No, thank you.
Well, you love a bit of mold, you.
Oh,
you're
well,
fucking
yeah.
keen on a bit of mold, slurping it all the time.
For the health purposes, of course, you know, to keep my resistance high and my penicillin strong, of course. But, you know, I ingest it. Well, I think I actually ate some yesterday by accident. I made myself a sandwich and did that thing of where you eat a bit and then you see the mold on the crust. And it was like, ah, shit, I did not see that when I was making it. So, you know, just a little bit, just a little bit.
I am so scared of like health stuff with food. Like if something, I know it's usually display by date, but I'm always like, if it passes display by date, I'm not interested.
Oh, really?
Which, you know, it's kind of wanky of me, but I'm just kind of like, I just am so scared of getting food poisoning.
It's not wanky. I think it's sensible. The sell by date there is for a reason.
It feels a little food wasty though. You know what I mean? Like I just don't feel comfortable eating anything that I think could have gone off or has mold in it. Or like it makes me like squirm thinking of that.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I think that's like very sensible, but obviously I know that they do put the sell by date too early. I'm terrible in the sense that I will just eat stuff and then the anxiety kicks in and I'm like, I've made myself sick. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to have violent diarrhea. So it's like, why did I eat it in the first place? Well, it looked fine. It didn't smell bad. So I just ate it. And it's like, why did I do that to myself? So,
yeah, I do that shit all the fucking time. And it's just like, why am I like making my brain worse? I'm like scaring myself even more. I'm probably like willing it into existence. Like,
exactly.
I probably would have been fine, but I've convinced myself that I'm going to have the shits now or something. Like,
and then like you start to feel a bit sick and you're like, oh no, it's happening. But actually it's just psychosomatic and you've like thought about it so much that you've like convinced yourself you feel sick.
But oh my, and people that are like, oh, something dropped on the 4 or 5 second rule, I think that's disgusting. I can't do it, no way.
I literally just did that.
Did you?
Well, I was waiting for you to like to for the podcast. I dropped a little bit of egg mayo, like a bit of my sandwich filling on
no!
the floor. But okay, it's in my stream room, which has literally been hoovered about 20 minutes ago, and I dropped it and immediately picked it up. So it's not like I picked it up and it was covered in cat hair and this, you know, room hasn't seen a hoover in weeks. I think that's okay. I wouldn't do it if I didn't know when I last hoovered or if it had been like, you know, thing is my house has a lot of cat hair in it. So you can immediately tell because there will, if it's the floor, if the floor is a bit grim, you'll get cat hair stuck to it.
Clean or not, if it touches the floor, it's dead to me. Unless I'm in like the room from The Matrix with the guns and it's like pristine white, like sterile ground, then I'll eat that shit off the floor. But like, and even if it's like the most shiny kitchen tiles you've ever seen in your life, I'm like, I ain't interested if it's touched the fucking floor.
I mean, that's fair. Also, it had been mopped. It had been mopped before people say like, well, Hoover is not going to do that much.
I'm saying all this and I'm already feeling the heat that I'm going to get from some people. Like,
we have to be so like careful, don't we? Please, I'm sorry.
You touch a doorknob, Ravs, that's got so many germs on it. Like, yeah, okay, fair enough. You know, I need to open the door. But if something touches the floor, I don't want to put it in my mouth.
No, well, that's sensible. Think about all the fucking disgusting shit that touches a floor. Yeah. Like, I don't make a habit of it. This, weirdly, was the first time that I've done this in, I don't remember the last time I ate something off the floor. It's not like it's something I do regularly. Also, it's just because I couldn't be bothered to pick it up and then, like, take it to the bin. So I was like, I'll just eat it.
Well, you know, sometimes you need to get down there to get at the mold that's growing on your walls, though, you know, right? Like, you got like get down there like a fucking anteater.
I gotta crawl around. Everything above like a foot is, you know, toxic levels of danger. Fuck.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, should we jump into a question?
I think we should before we make anyone like actually sick.
I am writing in today because I require the wisdom of the Zero Degrees Council on a matter of opposite sex friendship norms. I am male, my friend is female. So I've been made aware by a few people that my relationship with this girl that I go to university with is somewhat weird. She is one of my best friends, so naturally we are very close and hang out quite a lot. We are also very affectionate towards each other. We hug every time we see each other and when we depart, and we often say we love each other and are very openly emotional. Now, I should point out that I am a massively awkward introvert, so I don't usually do this type of thing with my friends. I guess I'm just very comfortable around her. I should also point out that she has a boyfriend, and I try to be as respectful of that as possible. Where it gets a little bit more complicated is the extra things she'll do sometimes. Like once we were waiting for a bus after a night out at the bars, and she just randomly started stroking my hair, like for a couple of minutes. I wrote that one off because we were both pretty drunk at the time, but still. Another time we were staying in a cabin with some friends and I fell asleep on the couch. Rather than just wake me up, which is as far as most friends would go, she physically took my hand and led me back to my room and got me a pillow. It's not like I was drunk or anything, so I was fully capable of doing that myself. There are other small things, like sometimes if I'm sitting next to her, she'll put her head on my shoulder. I think you get the idea. She'll also do incredibly sweet things, like she organized a birthday party for me, even though I didn't ask for one.
Aww.
Do you guys think this is normal? I think a lot of my worry is the perception people have of opposite sex friendships, especially when you're both straight. People always think there's something going on, but I will admit some things she does has confused me a little sometimes. Friendships with men are just not nearly as affectionate, so I'm not used to dealing with this. Her friendship is very important to me, and I don't want to do anything that may jeopardize it. If it is weird, how do you think I should proceed? Thanks. P.S. Sorry, there's no cum or pegging in this question.
We don't need those in questions.
We need palate cleansers, you know? We need palate. We can't always be pegging and cumming.
Yeah, this was a lovely question. We can't always have pegging and cum questions.
No,
come on.
We need the diverse range of subjects.
Exactly. This is a really sweet one, actually. This is like a nice message.
I like this. All right. So what are your initial thoughts?
Okay. I think that they're, you know, that you're literally my bestie. We're opposite gender. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that opposite sex friendships, like, yeah, they can be a bit weird. Like, sometimes, like, that's what society has, like, led people to believe. But I think it's, like, completely normal to, like, be friends with the opposite sex. Like, we're all just fucking human beings at the end of the day. So my initial thoughts are just like, yeah, it sounds like you guys have like a really healthy, comfortable fucking relationship. Like, it sounds good to me.
Would you say it sounds like this person is thinking maybe that she's being a little bit overly, maybe, I don't know if I'm reading between the lines, if maybe they think that this person might have feelings for him or something because they're sort of going a little bit further. Do you think that?
I mean, they have a boyfriend, like maybe she does deep down or maybe he does deep down have feelings for them. But like, I don't know. I didn't really read that. I just was like, oh, you guys are just great friends. And she like clearly cares about you and like wants to make sure you're okay. Like, you know, making sure you get to your bed when you're drunk or whatever. Like that seems like totally fine to me. The hair thing, little odd, but you know, it's like, you know, it's fine. Like I think.
A bit drunk.
Just drunk, you know, platonic mates just fucking around.
I would say that I don't read what she did as going like a little bit too far for me personally. Like you said, Raz, we're really good friends. We hug each other. We say hello and goodbye. We say I love you. Like we're, you know, very affectionate with each other, but it's very platonic. And mm-hmm. I could, you know, like I could imagine being drunk and like smushing your hair or whatever. Like I don't think that would be like, oh, like I'm coming on to you. I think that would just, that's definitely a drunken thing. And I absolutely could imagine like if my friend's passed out and they're a guy waking them up to taking their hand, taking them, like leading them. I would say that she's probably just very affectionate and, and it's just that. I don't read this as she's like trying to, I think she just cares a lot about this person.
Yeah. That's what I'm reading. She's like, you know, platonically cares about you a lot is my, you know.
And she made that birthday party, which I think is very sweet.
I think the problem is the other people's perception of that stuff. You know, like I've had like a lot of like the people I've been closest to in my life have all been women. And like, you know, growing up, I had to put up with other people being like, oh, get her shagged, mate, and stuff like that. God. It's just like fucking, I hated that. It was like grim. It was very like lad, like behavior in my head. And I was like, fuck that. Like, I hate that.
Yeah, no, that sucks.
It's also just, I don't know. I just hated that. So I think like you're probably getting like other people telling you it's weird where I think it's normal.
I think actually we can sort of sympathize with this a lot being like part of the Yogscast and content creators. I've found that, you know, I do videos with Lewis and there'll be someone shipping us. I do them with Harry or Rabs God, or
yeah,
Tom.
Jesus.
Or and there's always someone going to be like, don't you think they make a great couple? Like, blah, blah, blah. There's always like someone shipping us when they are just my platonic friends. And it can be...
Some people are just your ride or die homies, you know?
Yeah, they're just your homies. They're just your mates. And I understand it's not people trying to be malicious. It's just they think, oh, wow, they get on really well. And sometimes a sort of weirdly natural conclusion we have is that, oh, two people of the opposite sex get on. That must mean they love each other, which obviously isn't true.
Well, I think platonically they do.
I mean, platonically love each other. Mm-hmm. They ain't trying to boink, no. I think that with this person that's written in, I think just try and ignore what other people say because it doesn't fucking matter. Like, it's so normal for men and women to be friends. Like, and also, like you said, you're respectful of the boyfriend. It sounds like he's chill with it. Like, I know that sometimes in relationships, people can be quite jealous or possessive and they don't like it when their partner is friends with the opposite sex, but it sounds
like
it's
another thing.
Yeah, that can absolutely be a thing. But it sounds like it's pretty chill in that regards. So yeah, unless you are secretly in love with her or she's secretly in love with you, but I can't tell from just that message. I would say that it sounds pretty just sweet and platonic.
Yeah, that whole message to me just read like very, very just sweet. Like they're just good friends. And like, I think you just continue having a good friendship with them, you know?
Yeah, because you say you don't want to ruin it. I would just carry on as is. Like, unless you are actually in love with her and you're saying, should I tell her I love her?
Yeah,
but you don't say that. So I'm going to assume that's not the case.
I hope you're not like sitting waiting for her to break up with her boyfriend. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying I'm hoping you're not.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Because that'd be weird.
It sounds like you have a really nice friendship and you don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, you guys have a great friendship. You don't want to ruin it, for sure.
Yeah. I would just try not to overthink it. Just carry on as. I think she's just a very affectionate person and I think that's really nice.
Yeah, I think that's very sweet. Like slay besties and slay also besties. Don't listen to other people if they're telling you that's weird because they're the ones that are being weird.
Yeah, they're the ones that have the issue.
Yeah, to me, it's just like, you know, it feels like to me, it's something that like, you know, our parents or boomers or whatever never really had growing up or whatever. Like, you know, that was like the way society was back then. But like times have changed, man. Like, I think it's totally fine.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But thank you for the lovely question.
That was a very nice question.
Very nice.
I know a lot of people that don't believe in ghosts and they still say that they have had experiences. For example, my mother said there's a ghost in the kitchen that hovers over her shoulder when she cooks until she asks it to go away. But she says she doesn't believe in ghosts. Or a friend who's a bartender, though calls herself a spirits guide, lol, who doesn't believe, but says in the haunted pub she works at that she's seen a glass fly off the shelf when she was cleaning alone. Do any of you believe in ghosts? Have any of you had any experiences with ghosts? And if you do or don't, what do you think most people are experiencing when they say they have experienced one?
Firstly, what? How can you say there's a ghost in the kitchen, but I don't believe in ghosts? And I don't believe in ghosts, but a ghost through a glass. Like, you're just contradicting yourself straight away. I don't understand that at all. Surely you do believe in ghosts.
Says she doesn't believe, but then is like, yeah, both of them saying they don't believe, but then are both saying they've had experiences.
Maybe it's more like they think like, well, they can't be real because scientifically it doesn't make any sense, but I still believe something's going on and the easiest thing is to call it a ghost. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting one. But yeah, do you believe in ghosts, Ravs?
Hello, I'm Wheels, the Dungeon Master for Storybreakers. Love Critical Role and movies like Hot Fuzz and Spotlight? Actual play series Storybreakers combines the fantasy adventure of Dungeons & Dragons with small-town comedy and mystery in an episodic tale of journalists on the hunt for the secret underbelly of a tiny town where nothing seems to happen.
But excuse me if I don't think a bunch of ragtag journalists from a podunk town are actually going to be of any help.
But technically, I don't come from here.
When the mysterious arrival of a celebrity from the Heroes and Adventurers Guild sets off a strange conspiracy, the group will have to leave what they think they know about the world at the door if they're ever to unravel the truth at the heart of this seemingly nondescript town.
It's not front page of the Sasai Star News.
I pull up the today's like installment of the news to see what the front page actually is.
There's a big picture of a pumpkin that's been stepped on, and it says, "Outrage as pumpkin stepped on."
Storybreaker Season 1 in its entirety is available for listening right now wherever you get your podcasts, with Season 2 on the way. Find out more at dicebreaker.com.
I do not, but I am like such
a pussy. Oh my god,
you're
one of those people. Here we go.
So I'm such a pussy that like if I read like creepypastas or I watch a horror movie or I watch a ghost thing, mm-hmm. I will be too scared to go pee or something. I don't want to go into the dark living room. I don't want to go down the stairs. I don't want to go down the hallway. I'm like, a ghost will kill me.
Right.
I know Brian Cox, the professor Brian Cox was like, said some shit that was like, yeah, it's just like theoretically, physically, in physics, not possible for ghosts to exist. There is mm-hmm. no realm where that is a possibility. I was like, you know what? Fair. That's had me forever be like, yeah, ghosts are not real. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like if supernatural scary shit do be start happening or you get in my head, I'm a pussy, man. I'm terrified. I'm a big baby. So I get like irked out.
Is it
easily.
Specifically supernatural horrors that freak you out, like ghost ones or just all of them?
Ghosts are way more terrifying to me.
Oh,
like,
really?
What's some other ones that you're thinking of? Like zombies? Terrifying,
zombies,
but
just
like
serial killer, you know.
Serial killer is obviously terrifying, but
I mean, like if you watch a serial, like,
yeah.
What's the movies that freak you out the most? Like what genre?
I used to love like CSI and all those crime shows, but I cannot.
I didn't
fucking
think you were gonna say that.
Fuck it, I know, but like I used to be so into crime that now I can't watch or listen to true crime.
Oh, because, okay, true crime.
Yeah.
CSI isn't like...
No, yeah, but, you know, I had, like, an interest in, like, that right, shit. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, CSI is, like, a silly fucking, like, you know, American TV show. But, like, you know, I was, like, there was a point in my life where I was, like, I want to do forensics or something.
Yeah.
And I was, like, super into that. But now I'm, like, I cannot bear the thought of watching, like, any police show or true crime show.
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it? When it's true crime, it's like, oh, my God, this is just devastating.
I mean, I've often think to like there was a time I was visiting Bristol before I moved here. I was staying in a hotel room. It was like 11 at night. I just walked home from the pub myself. It was a little creepy. Mm-hmm. And I was just, I put on the hotel TV and it was like a fucking like over the top murder documentary. And it was about a fucking person that murdered people in the night. And I was like, I can't fucking sleep. I like triple checked my door was locked. I was like, I'm baby.
Bless you. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to be patronizing. It's just
no,
so sweet.
I'm a coward, man.
No, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Like, especially when it is true crime, because there's a you know, you can watch horror movies and be like, what I used to do if I was really freaked out by a movie was think like, okay, after that scene, which like traumatized mm-hmm. me for life, they would have gone cut and, you know, everyone would have like, you know, they are just actors that didn't happen. But when you watch a true crime story, you can't convince yourself of that because that shit actually happened. And it's, and then you start to think, well, if it could happen to that person, it can happen to me. And, you know, I can understand how true crime can really like unsettle because it is incredibly unsettling.
Yeah, but also, yeah, like spooky horror ghost stuff that fucks me up. Like, yeah, just anything that is like a ghost or spirit or like supernatural shit.
Supernatural.
Freaks me out.
But you don't think that ghosts do exist. The films just freak
think,
you out.
Yeah, films and all of that content, like, I love to consume it. I like horror despite the fact that I'm a coward.
Yeah.
I don't think they are actually real, but like, I like, you know, reading or seeing stuff about it.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
What do you do? Believe in ghosts?
No, I don't believe in ghosts. I think I've probably wanted to before in like a when I was more into watching like horror-y stuff, like not as in like mm-hmm. a ghost that's gonna fucking kill me, but the idea that like that spirits live on and exist and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that I am quite a is it pragmatic? Like, is that the right word? Where it's
practical.
Practical, yeah. I like in terms of things with like religion and stuff like that. I just don't think that they are real. I think they are a made up idea. Because a lot of it comes down to like afterlife and stuff, right?
Whether you're cancelled by the Vatican.
No, please, I can change. I'll do a baptism. Please take me, mm-hmm. take me into your arms. But yeah, so I personally don't, but I have known people that 100% believe in like ghosts and spirits and stuff. And I don't think that they're like crazy. I just think, you know, people believe in different things.
Have you like had any like supernatural experiences?
See, I haven't, and that's why, right? Like, I know someone who has experienced lots of things, and they do believe in sort of spirits and ghosts and things and such as, maybe not ghosts, maybe more spirits. So maybe it's because I'm just like, I'm an unbeliever because I can't like tangibly like experience it. But I do think it's interesting because this person says, what do you think most people are experiencing when they say they have experienced one? I mean, you can go back. Remember back in the day when we were Victorians, back in the day when they used to do those like seances and stuff, like a lot of them were like con men kind of thing. And they would set the room up to like make things shake and stuff like that to con people out of their money. I'm not saying that every single experience has been a con man doing it. I know that those are things that used to happen. I think sometimes it can be, I don't know what the term for it is, like that bias thing where you notice things because you want it to be like...
Yeah.
And so, for example, like, let's say you associate a yellow flower with someone and you walk along and then you see that yellow flower and you're like, oh, my God, they're, you know, this is their, like, it lands on you or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. But like, this is a sign. It could have happened. Like, you might have seen loads of other flowers and you just don't even notice it. You're only pointing it out because you have that bias of like looking for it.
Yeah, you have a bias in your head. Yeah.
And I think that a lot of things are like coincidences and bias and things like that can accumulate in like a thought that they are real. I don't want to be fucking poo-pooing on anyone's parade. And I'm not saying it's all bullshit. I just think that sometimes that can be the case. And I know I'm kind of being hypocritical here. So I'm saying I don't believe it, but I'm also saying, oh, but maybe it's more like, I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on other people's thoughts and feelings and beliefs. I just don't think it's real. You know?
Yeah. So I have actually had times in my life where I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, was that like a haunting thing? But then I'm like, logically have picked them apart. I think I've probably said them on the podcast before. So apologies, just bear with me. But this one's the dumbest, but I was young and my brain was playing tricks on me. Mm-hmm. We went into like, we were near some high flats and like the bin shed was open and we went in there late at night. And then there was like, a big figure running towards us and I was like, oh my God, it's clearly a ghost. And I was like, no, it's just a guy taking his bin out. You know what I mean? And it, like, I had one where I was lying in my bed. I'm much older now. I had Milo. Yeah. And I'm lying in my bed and I don't know why. Like, Milo's sitting with me and, you know, I start like dozing off. Like, my mom would woke me up to like, oh, I'm going to work or whatever. And I'm like, cool, I'll see you later. And like, I remember like kind of dozing off again. And I remember like Milo standing up all of a sudden and like barking at the wall. And I looked at the wall and there was a white dress pinned to the wall.
What?
And yeah. There was a white dress pinned to the wall. And like, just like nothing was holding it up. I didn't see any pins or it was just like flat against the wall. This like white dress, like kind of terrifying, like not like a wedding dress, kind of more like a, just like, I don't know, almost like a creepy child's dress.
Like a nightgown or something like
that? No, more like a creepy dress that maybe a kid would wear to a wedding or something.
Okay.
And Milo was barking at it and I was looking at it. I was like, what the fuck? Then I blinked and then Milo, I'm shitting you. Like, I shit you not, rather. Like,
I'm shitting you.
Yeah. I'm shit you not. Like, I blinked and as I opened my eyes again, Milo was curled up in my lap, sleeping, no dress. And I was awake, panicked. Like, what the fuck?
Okay.
I was like, my brain is like sleep apnea.
Yeah.
sleep paralysis rather.
Like, yeah.
I was like, maybe that's my first sleep paralysis. Because I think I've had like, I don't get it very often, but I've had a few sleep paralysis things and they are terrifying.
Yeah. I would say the fact it happened when you were dozing and not when you were like alert and awake says to me that you like, you dozed off and you had like one of those like in and out of sleep, vivid thing like sleep, because I have sleep paralysis, can't fucking say it, a lot. And it is weird because you are convinced you are looking at something, like you know, like it is there in front of you and then suddenly it just disappears. It's such a weird feeling. So it sounds like that's what happened.
I've had some weird ones where like, I'll be like looking at the wall or whatever, but it's like I've convinced myself that I'm hearing, like I'm obviously awake but I can't move, and and I'll be facing the wall or whatever and I'll be like, oh my God, like someone's behind me breathing. You know
oh
what
my
I mean?
God.
Like, yeah, like someone's like stood over my bed, like breathing.
What the
like
fuck?
They're watching me or something. Yeah. And I'm like paralyzed by fear, but what really is happening is sleep paralysis.
Yeah. And fucking hell. It's terrifying.
Yeah. So any time I've had like a paranormal experience has been like explained by like sleep paralysis and like just a man taking his bins out.
A man taking his bins out and sleep paralysis. Like, I'm sure that a lot of people who, when they see things, it is that they are like hot in and out of sleep when it happens. Mm-hmm. Like when I have it, I literally see like a man at the end of my bed. It's fucking scary. The last time it happened to me, I opened my eyes and someone's face was like nose touching my nose and I screamed and then they disappeared. But it was because I was having like a sleep paralysis thing. It shit's terrifying. Weirdly, I just remembered, this is a well-timed question, actually. I went to have my my eyelashes done, and the girl who was doing it told me about how her house, it was a ghost and didn't, it wasn't real. She told me about how her house was haunted, and it did actually sound legitimately a bit freaky. She said that the sort of history of the house is that it had been like bombed during the war. And that I think like her family had died there or children had died there. And then her boyfriend, who she hadn't told anything about, like the history of the house, started having dreams about, like nightmares about like this kid or this people that she had also had nightmares about. Mm-hmm. And then she, like the doors fly open on their own. And then there's like a wall in her front room where she had a nightmare that there was something trying to drag her into that wall. And she was freaking out. And then her aunt, who is like very like spiritual, came round and was like, there is something wrong with that wall. There's something like evil and whatever her words were about that wall. And the girl hadn't told her aunt about this dream. And now her aunt like won't go around there and like put sage around and stuff. And she said, it's terrifying. And actually, as she was explaining it, I was like, you know what? It does actually sound a bit freaky. I'm sure, well, I don't know, maybe there's explanations for everything, but it does sound kind of freaky. I would be freaked out if that was happening at my house.
I'd convince myself my house that I grew up in was haunted. I don't believe in ghosts or anything, but like I've always like found it fascinating. And like when I would go home, my living room would be on the left hand side, and I felt so uneasy about my living room always. Something about it.
Oh really?
Just like I had like a weird energy. I hated coming in from a night out and walking past my dark living room.
Oh.
Yeah, and I didn't like being in there late at night and shit. I don't know.
Oh my God, maybe someone was murdered there but in the past and you can feel the mojo.
Probably. I bet if some fucking like paranormal person went into that house, they'd be like, I'm sensing a weird energy here. That's like what my thought would be.
Yeah.
But I don't have a logical explanation for that one, but I've just always felt like weirdly uneasy as if it, like there's something there or some shit.
There's something freaky about it.
I
feel like you can be as like, I don't know, scientific, rational thinking about something, but you can still be freaked out and think, but what if? Like, there's always going to be that but what if? Like, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd be interested to know, listeners, if you want to write a comment in the YouTube, have you ever had a paranormal experience? What do you think when it comes to ghosts?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if people actually believe in them.
Right, so next question is from a Patreon. Thank you so very much,
Patreon.
Thank you. Says, sup nerds, you get to relocate the UK to anywhere else in the world, like all the people, houses, infrastructure, just not the land it sits on. Where would you move the UK, considering climate, neighbouring countries, adapting to a new environment, etc.? Stay frosty. Right, I get this. You relocate the UK to somewhere else. You're picking up the UK and plonking it down somewhere else.
Okay.
Well, all the houses and people, not the land. Mm-hmm. So the land stays there. We're just picking everything up and moving it.
Okay. I mean, what do we do if it doesn't fit?
I guess we get to take artistic liberties and squish it all in.
I'm going to assume it squishes in and fits if the country's too small.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's all good to go. We don't have, you know.
All right. That's interesting. What's your initial thought?
Well, assuming that because it is still the UK, all the same people, all the same houses, everything like that, surely you're going to want to go somewhere which has banging weather, sick ass neighbors, and as much as the UK has a lot of problems, we don't have things like tornadoes and earthquakes and tsunamis and all, you know, those natural disasters. So ideally, I want to avoid any place with a natural disaster.
I feel you.
ideally. And I guess it says with neighbors, you know, ideally, no wars. And ideally, in a world, that would be nice. So that narrows down a little bit. But also, you don't want to be too far away. Like, New Zealand's pretty banging, but it's fucking miles away.
Yeah, fucking ages away. You could never go to any event that isn't in New Zealand.
No, exactly.
Artists don't perform there and shit very often. Like,
I don't want to live in, I don't want to be Australia, though, because those freaking spiders and everything. No, thank you, Suvu Play. Yeah. So not go in there.
And also, are we moving into a new country or are we like attaching on to a new? I guess we're moving in because we're not taking the land.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
a toughie.
I don't want to go anywhere too cold either. I know that, like, I don't want to go up Scandinavia too cold.
That's what I'm thinking.
Nah, can't handle that.
I'm thinking like put us up next to Scandinavia, or maybe I'll go hang out next to Iceland or in Iceland. Like, you know, I'm thinking that. Like, maybe a little part of me that was like maybe Canada, but I was also like, you know, that's in the scary fucking natural disaster side of the world. So
I feel like a lot of the places in the world are plagued by like bad environmental stuff.
Yeah.
In some capacity. We're very lucky in the sense that sort of stuff just isn't a worry for us.
Yeah, we just get high winds and like rain.
Yeah, exactly. Just no tornadoes. Never ending cloud. I mentioned New Zealand, they get earthquakes. So, that wouldn't go there anyway.
Is it wrong of me that I want to experience an earthquake?
I think the idea of like just a very tiny earthquake where you feel the floor rumble and no one gets hurt and no structural damage happens, just to feel it isn't wrong. But obviously, not, you know, I want to be in a giant earthquake which kills hundreds of thousands.
Oh, I want to feel what the Turkey earthquake was like. Oh, I don't want to feel that. No, yeah. I don't want that to happen.
You're interested to know.
I want to be sitting there and like the building starts shaking. I'm like, oh my God. Oh, and then like everything's fine 2 minutes later, you know?
Yeah, like you just want to know what it feels like when the floor rumbles because that sounds crazy and we've never experienced that. I think that's,
But right. I don't want to move somewhere where that's a common occurrence.
No, well, unless you could guarantee that they were just little baby earthquakes.
Like, I don't know how people live in Florida and they're like, oh, it's that time of the year when tornadoes come destroy our homes and stuff. Yeah. I would be like, I'm moving so fucking far away from here.
It's so scary, the idea of that. Maybe I'd go somewhere in Europe which has nicer weather, but isn't a place but it's still pretty cool.
Well, this question is pretty much like, where do you want to move that you take all your friends and family with you?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, where's chill? Who's chilling?
I think, honestly, I'm like Norway, Sweden, Iceland, all of them are chilling.
What about somewhere like Spain?
Too hot for me.
Too hot. Yeah, I guess it does get really fucking hot. I need it to be a little bit cooler. I'm bloody Princess in the Pea. I'm bloody Goldilocks right now. Too hot, too cold, too many natural disasters, too many wars.
Yeah.
Where is my perfect place?
Sorry if we're offending all of your countries.
Oh, yeah, really sorry. this is just in a hypothetical, if you're allowed to be as picky as possible.
Oh,
you
God,
know,
yeah.
Like, no disrespect to all these places that I am just...
Yeah. Spain's just too hot for me. I don't do well in a hot climate. My Scottish blood cries.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm picking somewhere it can be a bit chilly. I know that you know, Norway and Sweden and stuff can get hot as fuck in the summer, but like, I need like a nice like mellow, it might rain a bunch, you'll get some snow. I need that.
Maybe I'd go somewhere like North Spain. Or like Italy.
South of France, like Spain as a whole. South of France is hot though.
Oh, yeah.
You'd love South of France though, I bet. Have you been?
Yeah. No, I've never been to South of France.
Oh my God, that seems like such a holiday you should go on.
Yeah, I've often thought about going there because it's not far.
Get yourself a little villa, drink some fucking wine.
Fucking dream come true for me. I fucking love that shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm going to settle around there somewhere. Sorry for any complete ignorant shit that I've come out with in my description of countries. It's probably all very misguided, but yeah, that's what I'm going with.
I'm not a world traveler enough that I know, like, you know, I'm sure there's some absolutely fucking lovely places in like you know, Europe and shit. But I'm just like, man, put my ass up next to the Scandinavians. I'll go chill up there.
Don't you, because like, you fancy the women?
Well, do you know? I like an accent. I like it. Well, no, but all the people are still... The question states here, Lydia, that everyone from the UK true. Will still be here, so...
You don't get your sexy still, Scandinavians.
I don't get sexy Scandinavian accents, no. But you know what? What can you do?
What can you do? No, what can you do? Mm-hmm. All right, mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair. All right, we're settled then. You're going up, I'm going down.
Yep.
Wait. Oh my God, this has been such a wholesome episode without Harry.
It's actually been like a really nice podcast.
It's so chill and wholesome. We've done where would you move the UK? Different sex relationships, friendships, whatever I'm trying to say, and ghosts.
And ghosts, yeah. Like the ghosts are a little bit spooky, a little bit scary right now.
A little bit scary, but nothing too bad.
Yeah, keep moving.
Keep moving and grooving.
Nothing disgusting came up. It was just fucking great time.
Oh my God. I guess we'll save all the disgustingness for when Harry's back. So look forward to that.
I hope Harry feels better soon, gets over his poo-poo problem. Yeah. And yeah.
And we will see you next time.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, everyone.
We'll see ya.
See ya.
Bye.